You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. Do remember that you can contact me via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, on the web at equip.org. And as always, you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let's go to the phone lines. Daniel first in Lexington, Kentucky. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Hank. My question is, Genesis 9, the first couple verses where God's making the new covenant with Noah, specifically verse 3, he says that every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, just as I gave you green plants. What's your take on those first couple verses?
Yeah, and then I think that passage goes on to say, now I give you everything, as though this is the first time. I don't think that's what we should read into the passage. I think that would be reading the passage in a wooden literalistic sense. And the reason I say that, and this is not original with me, if you look at the placing of this passage, it's already way down in Genesis chapter 9. And when you recognize that, you also recognize that prior to this, you have animals killed for sacrificial purposes, all the way back to, I think, Genesis chapter 3. You have the provision of animal skins for Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 4. And then think about the sacrifice that Abel made. He made a sacrifice of animals, and that was very pleasing to the Lord. So it has been well argued that what's going on when you get to Genesis chapter 9 is actually authorizing the eating of all kinds of meats, and in this way removing the prohibition against the eating of unclean animals that had been instituted for Noah's family within special circumstances in the epic of the flood. So again, this is not original with me, but I think that's kind of how I would argue it as well.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines, Lawrence in Austin, Texas. Hi, Lawrence.
How you doing, man? I just want to let you know, man, I really appreciate you. The question that I had was, I attend a non-denominational church, Church of Christ, and out here in Austin, Texas. And they do not play instruments or any type of secular music that is gospel. And I wanted to see what were your views on that.
Yeah, I think that's fine as a tradition, but I certainly wouldn't want to impose that tradition on anyone. And if you look at many people within the Church of Christ, which is not monolithic, it's multifaceted. So you have people on one side of the spectrum that are very, very orthodox with a small O, and people on the other side of the spectrum that are downright cultic. But as far as a tradition is concerned, I have no problem with it. However, if you look at this from a biblical standpoint, the ancient Israelites were very musical and employed both vocal and instrumental music in their worship of God. And you can see that in a lot of different psalms. One of the guys that has really blessed my life with respect to not just truth, but with respect to life, a friend named Elijah, loves this psalm. Psalm 150 says, "Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the trombone and with dancing. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Or you can look at one psalm prior to that, I believe it is, where David says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. His voice in the assembly of the saints, let Israel praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp." So, yeah, I think biblically, music is a wonderful thing. It can be employed in worship. But then again, there are a lot of traditions that don't employ music. As long as it's a tradition and not an essential for them, I don't have a great deal of problem with it. I prefer the music myself. It is wonderful. I love chanting, by the way, the chanting of the Bible. I end up having those scriptures going round and round in my head as I approach the new week.
I really appreciate this, Hank, man. I really do appreciate this, man, because I've been wrestling with this for a long time, man.
Well, hopefully that helps, and I deeply appreciate your encouragement and your call. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Hank. Hope you have a blessed day, man.
Thanks. You too. Reginald, he's in Ohio. Hi, Reginald.
Hi. I got an interesting question that I don't quite understand that I've been wanting to ask you, and that there is Enoch, which I just don't understand how Enoch being mentioned in the Bible as little as he is, and my understanding that God is sovereign, can one live such as Enoch lived today that God will look at them to where they will not see death? And he spoke of John the Baptist that there would never be one such as him, and that he highly exalted. So God being God and John the Baptist seeing death the way that he's seen it, and Enoch seen no death. Could one live such as Enoch? And I'll listen to your answer.
You got it, Reginald. Thank you so much for your call. Let me say this. It is true that Enoch lived 365 years. He walked with God and that he was no more because God took him away. But this is not to say that Enoch did not die like John the Baptist died. All of us die, and we should very much hope that we die in a biblical sense. And what I mean by that is that when we die, we will be transformed, which is to say, the hope of the Christian, and so many people say this to me in Orthodox circles, they say, Christ is risen, and my response is, yes, he is risen indeed. Why do people that follow early church theology say that? Why are they so enamored with that? Well, because Christ is risen, and because he is risen, we know that there are no such thing as dead saints. When you die, you're absent from the body, but you're very aware in the presence of the Lord. But Enoch, John the Baptist, you and I all look forward to something that is grand and glorious. What is that? Well, we're going to be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So this earthly tent is going to be changed. Not only that, but we will have, through a process of theosis, become more and more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And through that, we will recognize the benefits of having been created in the Imago Dei, in the image and likeness of God. So you and I look forward to the time that we are resurrected. My presbyter said to me the other day when I was going through some difficult problems, and he said to me, "You know, Hank, this world has its good points." And I just love the way he talks. He's just one of the great people I've ever met. But he's just casual. "This world has its good points." But what he was saying to me is, look, whether we live 80 years or 70 years or 100 years, we're looking forward to something that is far more great, grand, and glorious. The other thing I would say in this regard is that if you look at Scripture, Scripture tells us quite emphatically when you get to Psalm chapter 90, what you read there is that the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have a certain amount of strength. And yet, the psalmist says their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. and how true that is. I have this sort of, I guess, morbid obsession of looking at the obituaries every day. And the reason I do that, I guess it's not being morbid as much as, it is a reminder of how short life is and how necessary it is to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? He said, there's only one foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. But on that foundation, you can build. In fact, you must build as an active participant in the kingdom. You can build with gold and silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And the day of the Lord is going to reveal the kind of materials that you used. If you are using inferior materials, well, they'll be burned up. You will be saved, but as one escaping through the flames. I've said this consistently. What we do now, well, it matters for all eternity. Be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
www.hankhanagraph.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the Christian faith over the radio waves, through the written word, and by preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank is closer to Christ than ever before, and wants you to learn from his experiences detailed in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to our phone callers. Next up, Ron in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I have a question. I'm reading in Genesis about Creation Week and how God said, let there be light, and he created the whole world, the whole universe, and everything in it. And then on the sixth day, he created Adam and then Eve, and he put them both into the Garden of Eden, where they encountered the snake, which was Satan. I guess my question is this. During Creation Week, when was Satan created?
Well, remember that God created Satan, and we know that it was prior to the fall of Adam and Eve, because Satan obviously tempted Adam and Eve. Exactly when God created Satan, we do not know. We do know that he created not only Satan, but he created the angels in general. When I say he created Satan, I mean that takes a little explaining, because God created angels. Satan is a fallen angel. And it's also, I think, very noteworthy to point out that Satan is described in a lot of ways in Scripture. He's described as a snake, yes. He's also described in mythological terms. He's described not only as an ancient serpent, but he's described as a dragon. Well, dragons are the stuff of mythology. They're not the stuff of theology. And the point here is simply to say that God created a very beautiful being, that being being beautiful but yet non-physical. And God allowed that being to have the same volition that you and I have. We can choose to serve and love God, or we can serve to rebel against God. And if we don't have that volition, love becomes absolutely meaningless. Because if you don't have will, if you don't have choice, then you don't have real love. So Satan was created prior to the fall of Adam and Eve. We don't know exactly when. We do know that he was created along with the angels, and a third of them fell and followed Satan in a tyrannical death march away from the very thing he was created for, and that is the worship of God. And that's what all of us are created for, the worship of God. We are created in the Imago Dei, and we're created for fellowship within the Trinity.
Okay, so were the angels created then during Creation Week or prior to that?
But again, we don't know when they were created. We know that they were created prior to the time that Adam and Eve were created.
All right. Thanks very much, Hank.
You got it. And I think it's very interesting to note Job, because he uses language here that I think is spectacular. He uses a literary progression. So if you read Job, and I do, it really resonates with me. But after 30-plus chapters of rambling human speculation, what do you get to? You get God answering Job out of the storm. And in essence, God asked Job if he would like to try his hand at running the universe for a little while. The language is just absolutely delicious. God says, who fathers the drops of dew? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens? Do you give the horse his strength? Does the eagle soar at your command? Consider Behemoth, who ranks first among the works of God, or the sea dragon. Can you pull in Leviathan with a fishhook? Well, what's going on here? It's what I talked about earlier. You have a literary progression that is moving from creation to creatures to the cherub. The cherub who was once ranked first in the very order of creation. So to Job, the primal monster of the land, in similar fashion to the primal monster of the sea, was indomitable. But to Jehovah, Behemoth and Leviathan were mere pets on a divine leash. So here again, you have the literary progression of the Bible. The monster is vanquished. And Isaiah says this. He says, Leviathan, the gliding serpent. He goes on to say, Leviathan, the coiling serpent, God is going to slay the monster of the sea. So again, if you interpret Scripture in light of Scripture, the literary personification of Satan becomes readily apparent. I wrote about this more in the Creation Answer book. Back to the phone lines, Jim, Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
Well, let me get to my question. We have a gentleman in our in a small group with us who he's literally just come to Christ within the past week. And he asked a question that perplexed some of us of trying to find a biblical response to his query. He said he reads that God says, "Well, go and sin no more." And he said, "But what if you decide later in life that you just don't agree with any of this, and you just want to just do that again and not go back to where you were?" He said, "Do you lose what?" God said that, you got for free.
Yeah, I think you have to think about it in a different way. And I like to point to Judas. You think about the fact that for 3 years, Judas was part of Christ's inner circle. And so if you were a spectator watching Jesus as he was conducting his earthly ministry, you'd say, wow, I want to be like Judas because Judas is close to Jesus. He is part of the inner circle of the very one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. And so from all outward appearances, Judas was a true follower of Jesus Christ. But upon closer examination, indeed, listening to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, he characterized Judas as a devil. And the book of Hebrews warns us that there were Jews like Judas. These Jews tasted God's goodness and yet turned from his grace. And I think that's something that we have to keep in mind. Because true saving faith is not just knowing that Jesus is Messiah. Judas saw all the works that Jesus did. It's not even agreeing that he is Lord of the universe. Because the demons do that and they shudder. It means that you are trusting in Jesus Christ alone, that you are, and here's an operative word that I hope I get in people's memory traces, that you are an active, that's the operative word, an active participant in the kingdom of God. Otherwise, what you are is a baptized secular humanist, someone who's made a transaction. Well, why not buy the insurance policy? But really is not a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Someone who says, you know what, me and my Bible, me and my Jesus, rugged individualism, go to church from time to time to get a little fuel in my tank, to get a little consumeristic jolt, But that's not what Christians are. Genuine Christians fall in love with Jesus Christ and with the body of Christ, and then they follow Jesus Christ. They do the things that Christ would have them do. They give the cup of cold water, the piece of bread. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will cry himself and not be answered. And in the process, they are fueled along the way by the graces that God in his sovereign plan has condescended to provide to people through the instrument of the church. Graces by which we do what we do, not by biological power, but by Zoe. We do it by a power that is from above. Well, when you start to experience the transfigured Christ, you become transformed yourself. Oh, I could go on. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.